If you are listening to this podcast, it means you are searching. Searching for someone who understands you. Someone who gets you. You are yearning to be understood and to belong. Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where we help smart, talented, and sensitive people navigate an often insensitive world. I am Diane Allen, your host. My roles as ambassador, author, speaker, and intuitive mentor for bright and talented people are woven into each episode. I have the experience and knowledge to educate and inspire as I have been there and I understand your unique intensities, sensitivities, and challenges. Welcome. How to be a beneficial presence. Hi, friends. It's Diane here talking today a bit about being a beneficial presence and what that even means and the importance of it in our world as intensely sensitive people who are making it in a very interesting environment, might we say. Now, you know, last week we talked about not stealing from our friends. And I brought that up because it comes up in so many of my sessions with people that I work with, and it's come up in many of my retreats before, that people knowingly and unknowingly will take advantage of things like time and service and expertise from their friends. And one of the big points is that if you take it from somebody, that's a form of stealing. But if they freely give it to you, then it's a gift. And so when we take something from somebody, we cheat them out of the joy of giving, and we cheat ourselves out of the joy of receiving. So it's not about making everything transactional. In fact, I'm known for saying that my work is relational in nature. My business is relational. It's not transactional. And I think that's a really important thing. And so I started thinking about beneficial presence and how that is really where we're headed. So one of the things that people can take a lot from others or steal from them is their joy. And their joy in sharing good news. I mean, I've seen it happen over and over again where somebody gets some really good news, like somebody's pregnant or they got engaged or a really good promotion, something that's really exciting for them. And then a well-meaning friend or family member goes and tells everyone else, thereby stealing the joy that person has for sharing their good news. It's something very simple, but yet very profound when we realize that any news is for that person to share, not anyone else. Unless they tell you to, right? So I want to talk about being a beneficial presence so that the unconscious way that sometimes we step on other people unknowingly can be relieved and not so prevalent in the world. And so I have three major points that I think are vital to being a beneficial presence. Now, first, let's discuss what a beneficial presence is, right? It means that my very existence or my presence in the group, in the family, in the workplace, is one where I am offering some sort of benefit, that it is not a taking kind of presence. So the first part of being a beneficial presence is to deeply listen. To deeply listen means I listen with my ears and I also listen with my heart. Now we know that so many people are only listening enough to respond. But I suggest that deeply listening is about listening to understand, not to respond or reply. Because if you're listening just to respond, I call it sequential monologues, because you're really not trying to take in what the other person is saying and understand it. You're just trying to respond. So we want to deeply listen. We want to listen to what's being said and what's not being said. After all, 80% of our communication is nonverbal. So it's not just in the words, it's in the tone, the language, the pace. All of those things are so important. So ask yourself for just a minute, like, how do you listen? How do you listen to other people? Do you give them your full attention? I had a friend of mine one time, and he has a couple of young children, and he said that his little boys were always going, "Dad, Dad, Dad, Dad," and they would always say it three times, and he could never understand how come they always had to go, "Dad, Dad, Dad," three times. Well, he finally asked the older one, and he goes, "Well, because it takes three times to get you to answer us and be here," and he realized that he was always distracted, either working or on his phone or reading or watching videos or something. And even when he was in the same room with the boys and they were playing and he was kind of half playing with them, he was so distracted that they got used to having to say "Dad" three times to get him to actually pay attention and listen to what it is they had to say. It's so important. Another part of deeply listening, and it goes with not stealing from our friends, but also being a beneficial presence. It hits both of these pieces. And that is to ask somebody how they want you to listen to them. In many cases, I have multiple roles. I can be a friend or a minister or a counselor or a mentor, right? And there's lots of different ways we listen. I listen differently if I'm doing counseling than if I'm doing mentoring, because they're different things. I listen differently if I'm being your friend and you just want to vent, but you don't want me to give you any feedback or information. You just want to vent. So often, if somebody knows me really well and they call just to vent or talk, I will say, "How do you want me to listen to you?" Meaning, do you want me to listen to you as a confidant, as a friend, as a business owner, as a mentor, as a counselor, as a minister? What? What is it that you would like? Because the response is going to be different. Now, where a lot of people kind of miss the mark, I think, is they'll call their friend and just start talking and venting, which is fine, but they've never really considered what are they looking for to get back. Do they just want a listening ear? Do they want input? Do they want advice? And so it's important that we, as the speaker, know what it is we're looking for out of that interaction. And if you're the one that's being called upon, that you have clarity on what it is the listener wants. So I remember one time, this is kind of funny, I was frustrated with my phone. And I'm like, I got to get a new phone now. It was one of those days, and this was years ago. And I was like, oh my. And a friend of mine called to say hi, and we're talking. And he asked me how I was doing. And I said, oh, I'm just frustrated with my phone. But I'll be fine. You know, it'll all sort out, blah, blah, blah. And just kind of went on. Well, then, later on that day, about 4 hours later, I got an email with multiple solutions to the perceived phone problem. Now, I did not ask for any solutions. I didn't need them. I was just a little frustrated. And so we had a conversation after that where I said, thank you so much for sending me all those solutions. However, really, I was just talking to you as a friend and didn't really need the solutions. And so from then on, as friends, we would always clarify, how are you listening? Because he's like the problem-solving king. He could problem-solve just about anything. So if I really needed somebody to help me think through something, he'd be the person I would call. And not always is that what I'm looking for. Sometimes I'm just looking for another bright and talented, sensitive person to say, boy, I get it. Which is much different than guiding me through the problem or asking questions unless I ask for it. So being really clear on the reason we would call someone and the way we would deeply listen makes a big difference in our relationships. So deeply listening with your mind, your heart, all of your being, how do you feel? And paying attention. Listen to understand, not just to respond. That's the first part of being a beneficial presence. And as you see, there's lots of nuance here. The second part of this that I want to discuss is developing and maintaining a service mindset. That means asking ourselves on an ongoing basis, how can I serve you? How can I serve the situation? Rather than, oh, I have to go to work, but I get to go to work. How can I serve the people that come into my world, whatever that is, in whatever way that is. So many people in the world want to pretend like they're being a service person because they'll go and do things with the agenda of being noticed or getting accolades or something. And that's not service. That's manipulation. I know some people specifically who say that they're helping out their grandkids so that they can feel loved. And so in one situation, the enabling behavior was actually harming the grandchild, but it was meeting the selfish needs of the grandparent. So there's so many different ways to look at it, and no two situations are the same, of course. So the key is to be asking and have the consciousness in our mind of how can I serve in whatever the situation is. If we are not looking to serve, or we are, might we say, just trying to get what we can get kind of thing, then we're out of integrity. And so integrity is doing what we say we're going to do and not doing what we say we're not going to do. So if you're going to have a service mindset, you want to really practice great boundaries around the service mindset so that you're not giving away so much that you burn yourself out. Boundaries are very important. And speaking of boundaries, the third thing I want to talk about is establishing and maintaining healthy boundaries. Now, a lot of people think that boundaries are kind of like a stone wall or an electrified fence or a moat or something crazy. And no, that's not exactly the case. It can be, but that's not really all of it. I think healthy boundaries has to do with knowing very clearly the criteria that we're using in order to determine how close someone gets to us on many different levels, but also how much of us come into any situation. So the outer boundaries are how close you get to me physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and what is my criteria for how I allow you in. And then there's the inner boundaries of how much of me do I bring to the table? How much of me shows up? And that's the inner boundaries. And so establishing and maintaining those in a healthy, fluid way pays off and allows us to be the beneficial presence that we're meant to be. So we want to begin to align to the ideas like my yes means yes and my no means no. Trying is a noisy way of doing nothing. So when somebody says to me, I'll try, I translate in my mind to the answer is no, they're not going to. But they say, I'll try, so that they don't allegedly hurt your feelings. But really what they're doing is avoiding your response. Because if somebody says, I didn't want to hurt your feelings, the translation is, I didn't want to deal with your response if I told you the truth. And so therefore, I'm going to blame it on you and saying I didn't want to hurt your feelings. Lacking accountability. I hear it all the time and I see it so much of the time. So when people say try, I'll usually say that's a noisy way of doing nothing. And if somebody tries to put off on another person the reason why they didn't do something, then I would like to know where is the personal accountability for one's own action. That's important. That's where the boundaries are. And it makes more sense, and it's more authentic, and it's more vulnerable, and it's more real when we live in a more open, honest, and place of integrity. Remember that your boundaries are fluid. They move, and they have presence, and they don't all have to be electrified fences, like I said a minute ago. They can be very gentle and kind, but firm. They can also be very very fluid. So you get the pick, but the key is healthy. And that means clear. Squishy boundaries or unclear boundaries create resentment and stress and drama in situations. So like I said a minute ago, one of the things that I've learned to keep my boundaries healthy is my yes means yes, my no means no. So if you're one of those people who's always saying yes to people and you're wondering why you're overwhelmed, one of the first things to do is to slow down. And instead of going, sure, I'll do that, yes, say, well, let me think about it. even if you know it's going to be a yes, and give yourself extra minutes to make a choice. Like if somebody calls and they ask me to do something and I'm, even if I'm sure, most of the time I'll say, let me get back to you, even if it's just a few minutes. So I can breathe for a minute, I can go within, and I can decide exactly how I want to do it. If I want to really say yes, or was it an emotional response, so that my behavior lines up with what I say I'm going to do. That's integrity. And so part of healthy boundaries is also about asking permission. It's about asking permission to speak about somebody, to somebody, to touch them, you know, like give them a hug or something like that, right? It is about paying attention and remembering that 80% of our communication is nonverbal. You know, I have a friend of mine that whenever she's upset, she doesn't want anybody to touch her. No hugs, no nothing. And I have other people that when they're upset, they crave hugs. So if you're one of those huggers and you have somebody in your life who's upset, even if you know that they like you to hug them, it's important to get permission before you reach out. You know, you can put your arms out or you can look at them a certain way. You don't have to actually use words all the time, but you also can use words. It's very important that we honor the integrity of boundaries with ourselves and other people, and that we realize they change and they're fluid, but also they're the vital part of us maintaining our own sovereignty and our own alignment. Because when you meld your boundaries into somebody else, when it's not distinguishable you to them, then a lot of squishiness and a lot of drama and challenges begin to ensue. And so if we're going to be a beneficial presence, we don't want to be part of the drama, do we? We don't want to be part of the challenges of miscommunication and all those kinds of things. So as a beneficial presence, we want to live with clarity. We want to live with kindness and compassion. We want to be in that place where we can say, okay, this is the rules and this is how I'm operating. The rules that I've set for myself, and that I honor my own agenda, my own integrity, my own authenticity. Now, the cool thing is you can always change your mind. The cool thing is the boundaries are fluid and they always move. But what really matters, I think, so important here as being a beneficial presence is our intention and our motive. If my motive is to be of benefit and be that presence that inspires and offers light to other people and or into a situation, then it matters that I'm listening deeply. It matters that I have healthy boundaries. It matters that I'm of service in my mindset. It matters. So if you are striving to be a beneficial presence in any part of your life or all of it, then take these things with you and just pay attention. Do a little baseline study. How good am I at listening deeply? Or do I find myself interrupting people? Do I find myself talking over people? Now, people with ADHD, sometimes it's really easy to interrupt and talk over because, not because somebody's trying to be rude, but because of the speed of the brain processing. So it might take a little practice to slow down a little bit. That's okay. And that's okay. And that's also okay to tell your close friends and people that sometimes it's a little difficult because you get excited, and to work with you on that or be patient with you, just like you want to be patient with some of the differences and some of the nuances of the people around you. It's all very interesting, I think. And I think that's where healthy boundaries comes in, because there's a way to know how much of you to bring out, and there's a way to know your criteria for allowing other people in. And that's a key. What's your criteria for allowing other people in your life and how close you let them to you? So these are all topics in and of themselves that could be their own shows, and they could go on and on because there's so many differences. But I think what matters, or my mission for today anyway, is to remind us that it's not about what we're not doing a lot of the times. It's what are we doing? So what are we doing to be a beneficial presence? Well, last week when I talked about not stealing from your friends, that's a way to stop the damage, right? That's a way to stop causing more drama and more pain. Got to put down the shovel before, you know, and stop digging the hole before we can fill it up. And so now we want to shift into being a beneficial presence and say, okay, well, what can I do to elevate my presence? What can I do to be that positive influence, that inspiring light in the group, in the room? And so I invite you to ask yourself now, and maybe every day, am I being a beneficial presence? And most importantly, how do I know? What is my evidence procedure that tells me that I am being that beneficial presence that I seek to be in the world? I hope this episode has helped you. I hope it has reminded you that you do so many amazing, wonderful things to be of benefit. I hope it has reminded you of things you know, or maybe brought up some things that you don't yet know, but now you do. Oh, I love it. And I love that all the comments that people send me and share with me on these episodes. So please, if you have any comments or there's anything you'd like to share, either email me through the email link in the show notes or contact me through the show. Any way you can, let me know your comments and if there's anything I can do to serve you, because service mindset is a core principle in my world. It matters to me that I live that as fully as possible. So if you have anything that you would like to talk about or something that could happen, please get in touch. Remember, put your face to the sun so the shadows fall behind you, because you're a rock star. You're here on purpose with a mighty purpose. So go out there, be a beneficial presence, stand in your own authenticity in a way that brings you such great joy from the inside out. Until the next episode of Someone Gets Me, be well. Are you tired of searching for someone to understand you? Join our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. In this group, you will be able to connect with others who are intense, sensitive, smart, and talented. I share my insights and teachings, and you can connect with others in a real, authentic, safe forum. So join us today. Someone Gets Me.